Ambassador with Malcolm Holline Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We're very pleased to welcome David Schenker, top senior fellow at Washington Institute and director of the Linda and Tony Rubin Program on Arab Politics. David, a very good evening to you. You tell me that Nasrallah, the general secretary of the Hezbollah terrorist organization, is about to make a speech. To do what? To say what? Good evening to you, David.
Well, good evening to you and to Malcolm. Hassan Nasrallah hasn't opened his mouth since October 7. He has been watching. There have been escalations on the border between Lebanon and Israel. Hezbollah is not standing idly by, but they have not escalated in a dramatic fashion. Tomorrow, though, we'll find out what Hezbollah may or may not intend to do. They are part of the so-called axis of resistance. They are, like Hamas, loyal to, answerable to Tehran. And we're going to see how involved Hezbollah may get. I mean, some of that will depend on how well or how well Israel does in Gaza and its campaign against Hamas. And part of it may depend on whether it looks like Hamas is going to be wiped out. But they don't want to be standing idly by as, a tool of the resistance gets decimated.
Malcolm?
We have two aircraft carrier groups plus additional destroyer just joined them. What impact do you think this has had? Do you think that this is an impediment to both Iran and its Hezbollah agents and others? Degree to which they don't seem to be restrained in attacking American troops yet in Iraq and Syria. So are they a real deterrent in this case?
Yeah, we've seen a real horizontal escalation, that is Iranian proxies in Iraq going after U.S. troops, both in Iraq and in Syria. There have been something like 37 attacks so far, 24 American troops with traumatic brain injuries, and only one U.S. kinetic response. But the aircraft carriers themselves, and by the way, I think the Iranians think they can get away with that without triggering a major response against Iran itself. Because after all, Iran traditionally is happy to fight to the last Arab against the United States and Israel. But the aircraft carriers and a marine amphibious landing vehicle, all these are intended as deterrents against Iran and other groups from entering the war against Israel. We've seen some escalation. It's unclear how deterred Hezbollah is by U.S. aircraft carrier and all the fighter wings that are on board. They don't appear to be enormously concerned about the Israeli Air Force. But at the same time, they have limited the escalation. And it's unclear, actually, whether the United States would go after Hezbollah, whether we're going to get involved in on that kind of level or just trying to keep Iran out of the conflict, Iran directly out of the conflict.
It's 40 years since the Marine barracks bombing by Mugnia. Is Beirut as hard a target as it was then with all that population? Is it an easier target? Is it something that the U.S. Navy can handle if it has to go after Nasrallah?
Well, I don't think we know where he is. I think the Israelis have been working on this problem set for, more than a decade or so. This would obviously be sort of the equivalent of taking out Soleimani.
Yes.
Sort of the queen on the chessboard. He's a great orator. He's got good strategic vision. Is thought to be highly charismatic. But the bigger problem here is that Hezbollah is well dug in the south. There are enough rockets and missiles, 150,000 of them or so, that Hezbollah could fire 6,000-7,000 rockets into Israel a day. And they did so in 2006, so several hundred a day for 34 days. Israel can inflict an enormous amount of damage on Hezbollah, their command centers in the south and in Dahiya, the southern suburb of Beirut. But Hezbollah may, be able to keep firing for a long time. And unless Israel wants to do something on the ground, this could get very messy very quickly.
Malcolm?
Could you give us a quick view of some of the other countries, Egypt's role and responsibility being closest to Gaza than in Israel? Tunisia's supposed move in its parliament, even reports of you know, the ambassadors in some of the Gulf countries returning. What do you think the status is right now with these countries?
Well, Jordan today withdrew their ambassador from Tel Aviv. Bahrain withdrew its ambassador. You know, these countries are under some domestic pressure in their countries to be seen as responding. There is a great deal of sympathy for the Palestinian people and cause, if not for Hamas in these countries. So they want to be seen as doing something. Egypt has been sort of leveraging American citizens and foreign citizens, not letting them into Egypt until yesterday, getting out of Gaza in an effort to, you know, demonstrate that they're going to try and help get the Palestinian people humanitarian the shipments. That has worked. The bigger issue for me here is, you know, what's going on in places like Iraq and Yemen. In Iraq, the Muqtada Sadr and others are starting to push forward a movement to close down the U.S. embassy, to kick U.S. troops out of the country. And Yemen, of course, you have another Iranian proxy, the Houthis, who are now firing cruise missiles and drones toward Israel. They have long range weapons that, you know, are have to be shot down, one by an Arrow missile the other day. One was shot down by the Saudis over Saudi airspace. A U.S. Naval vessel shot down a couple, maybe 19 drones and missiles about a week ago. So there's a lot going on. And the longer this goes on, the more we're going to see.
Is Egypt stable? Al-Sisi made a strange speech about eating less. Are they tipping into anarchy?
Well, they're not quite anarchy, but more than 50% of the people in the country make less than $3 a day. The currency has been devaluated by some 75%. There are no dollars, no foreign reserves for the country. Meanwhile, Sisi is building New Cairo, a whole new administrative city. He's buying submarines, building military bases, and the military controls an estimated 40 to 50% of the economy. It's not looking good. I'm not particularly optimistic about the trajectory of that country, and they won't do the kind of reforms that they need to do to get an IMF program. So it's not looking good right now.
Is that why it keeps the gates locked to Gaza?
There's a real sensitivity here, John. I think, you know, back in 1948, a whole bunch of Palestinians fled. Right. Maybe they didn't want to go back, and maybe they couldn't get back, but a lot of people didn't go back. There is a rumor in the Arab world that Israel intends during the course of this war to expel a couple million Palestinians. Now, it is patently not true. And I wish Israel was out there better messaging on this topic. But there's a widely held belief out there. And so Egypt doesn't want to be seen as being complicit in a transfer of Palestinians.
I understand. David Shanker of the Washington Institute, Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.